So I want to talk to us today a little bit about where we are headed in the new church year. So in the Church of the Nazarene on the Southwest Indiana District, our fiscal year is from June 1st to May 31st. And so this is the last Sunday in our church year. And we just operate around here in thinking in terms of that year. And here's why I do it. I think of it in terms of school. I know school is out, but summertime, you don't do a whole lot as far as trying to accomplish anything, do you? So summertime, people are gone, they're on vacations. We try and take a step back and look different ways. But then we think about it in terms of a fall semester and a spring semester. It just works that way. You have a Christmas break, and so the things we're always asking is, what do we want to accomplish in the fall semester, and then what do we want to accomplish in the spring semester? So maybe that doesn't make any sense to you. It's okay, it doesn't. It makes sense to me, and that's a good thing, but I think of things differently. So that's kind of just how we operate. And a few weeks ago, I don't expect you to remember, but I preached a message entitled, Time to Move. I thought I was preaching it to us, but I realized God was really speaking to my heart. And He said, Jonathan, it's time to move. There's been things that we've been praying over and working through, and I've been looking for direction. And finally, He showed up and just said, Jonathan, it's time to move. And so starting today, by the end of our service, we will have made a move. Now, it's not a move from a physical address. We will still be here by the grace of God. No more, we're not going to take on any more debt, by the way. We're going to stay right here and pay this debt off and let God work here. But we are changing spiritual addresses, if you will. We're moving. And we're moving according to John chapter 15, verse number 8. The words are there for you on the screen. But it says this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We were created to reflect the glory of God. So whether we are eating or drinking or whatever we do it to the glory of God. It says 1 Corinthians 10:31. But as reflectors of God's glory, reflectors are interdependent. That means that they cannot fulfill their purpose in and of themselves. They have to attach themselves to something else in order for their purpose to be fulfilled. Namely, light. Right? You know the reflectors I'm talking about, you know, on a bicycle. Not that you need to be riding after dark, but, you know, you used to ride kind of at dusk and the car lights will hit that reflector and it will reflect the light back. You know, some of you are real uptight about your driveways and getting in your yard. And I love my yard, but I'm not this uptight. And you have the two poles with the little reflect. Don't be mad at me. I'm just picking on you. Little reflectors. They don't just come on and start reflecting when there's no light around. They only reflect when light is shown upon them. So reflectors are always dependent on what they are attached to. But the reflectors add nothing to light. Light will exist with or without the reflectors. They can do nothing for the light. But reflectors, light does everything for the reflectors. They're dependent upon it. This is the way that it is with the glory of God. Just to set the record straight, the glory of God is not dependent upon us as His reflectors. The glory of God exists if we reflect His glory or not. Psalm 19:1 says, "For the heavens declare the glory of God." Jesus said that the rocks will cry out if my disciples stop praising me. So God's glory will exist with or without us. We add nothing to His glory, but His glory does everything for us. His glory is what allows us to fulfill our purpose in life, which is to reflect His glory. When God created us, He created us in the image of God and His likeness, so that in everything we do, we would reflect His image and His likeness onto the world that is around us. And that's how our purpose then is fulfilled. And as we reflect His glory, watch what happens, we will bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you what? Bear much fruit. Now, fruit is an interesting thing because fruit cannot produce itself initially. right? Something else has to be the source that gives birth to fruit. But once fruit has been produced, fruit will reproduce itself over and over again according to what it has attached itself to. So in John 15:5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit." Showing yourself to be my disciples. So this is to my Father's glory, that He is the vine, we are His branches, and as we attach ourselves to Him, He will attach Himself to us. But if we detach ourselves from Him, and do you know what happens Monday through Saturday, and then between when we wake up on Sunday until we arrive at church, and then after church, you know, that 1 hour, we're pretty good attached, but after church until the rest of the week, you know what happens? This world works to detach us from the vine. And so long as we are detached from the vine, we will not bear much fruit. But so long as we attach ourselves to Him, we will bear much fruit. Now, this is the interesting thing about fruit. Fruit always produces more than itself. Fruit never produces just itself. So inside of every piece of fruit, there will be a seed. You can take that seed and plant that seed, and what does the seed do? It will produce another vine. And upon them vine will be more branches, and upon them branches will be even more fruit. So one piece of fruit will always produce more than itself. So what happens as we remain in Him and He remains in us, guess what should happen? We should be reproducing ourselves. And we don't just produce the fruit that's in us, we produce more and more fruit all of the time. Now, every one of us wants fruit. Some of you will define fruit differently. You may say that fruit means success. Everybody wants to be successful. We might define fruit as blessing. Everybody wants to be blessed. We might define fruit as just not have to fight this old world this week. To get through the battle, to get through the struggle, that would be fruit. That would be abundant life. However you want to find it, every one of us wants more fruit, but none of us want it the way we get it. Jesus says that His Father is the gardener, and that every branch that remains in Him will bear fruit. But looks what He does. John 15:3, He will prune the branches. You know what pruning is? A cutting away. Translation, pain. It's painful to be pruned. But if we are not pruned, we will never produce more fruit. See, none of us want to be pruned. We want more fruit, but we don't want to be pruned. You know, the same word, the verb form for pruned, and the same word for those branches who don't remain in Him, they don't bear fruit, He says they'll be cut off. The word cut off and pruned are the same word. So that tells me something. The situation that we're going through has two possibilities. It will either prune us to make us more fruitful, or it will detach us from the vine. Amen. Now I want to deal with this part of it first, the detaching of the vine. So I think, I have to think this through. I believe, that's a better word, that there will be times in our life we will go through situations that will detach us from the vine. Sometimes it will be because we just can't fight anymore. Sometimes it will be because we stumble and fall. But here's the good news about who Jesus is and the vine. Guess what He will do? He will graft us back in to the vine, says the book of Romans. So I thought of it this way, Gary. He called me this week because, as you can see, he's hurt both of his hands different times. He knows I love him, so I can do this. But his ring finger and his pinky got caught in a belt, a farm belt that helps move seed and grain, and it tore some of the skin off of it. So what do you have to do? I'm trying to keep it PG. He went and got stitches. And he said they didn't stitch them back very much because they were worried about whether or not it would be able to stick. But here's my point. You know what stitches do? Stitches take something that has been detached so that it will stay together long enough until it will reattach itself. So sometimes we get detached from the vine, but I just want you to know that if you ever feel detached from the vine, that who Jesus is He will always graft us, He will always stitch us back, and we won't be one right away, but in time He will grow us back together with Him. So the detachment part, but then also the attachment part, where we attach ourselves to Him. How do we do that? Jesus says in two different places, He says, those who remain in My Word. I've spoken My Word, and therefore you're clean. And then He says later on, if you remain in Me and in My words. So it's the Word of God that will prune us. So if we are not in the Word on a regular basis, we will not be fruitful. Because the Word of God divides. It's the living Word of God, and it divides and it cuts, because it will cut off everything in our life that is not of Him or from Him, so that everything that is of Him and from Him can continue to grow, and we will bear much fruit. None of us want to go through the process of being pruned. But when He does it, we will become even more fruitful. And this fruit always produces itself in something else. Or in our case as disciples, it will produce itself in someone else. Can I help us here? So you and I, the more we try and get joy in our life, the less joy we will have. The more peace we try and strive for, the less peace we're going to get. Here's how I know, because it's not our fruit. It's His fruit. Because as we attach ourselves to sin nature, Galatians 5, fruits of the Spirit, it will just be sin that reaps itself. But when we attach ourselves to the Spirit of God, there will be joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So it's His joy and peace that comes into our life. It does not belong to us. So as we attach ourselves to Him, we will get that joy. But then what will happen is that joy will reproduce itself outside of us into the lives of people that are around us. Because isn't that what fruit does? It always produces more than itself, so that it can be produced in other and new places that it didn't once exist. I know that's right. I'm getting a few head nods, not everybody, but I know that's right. You know what that's called? Disciple making. That's what that's called. So this is to My Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. What? Showing yourselves to be My disciple. We've defined what it means to be a disciple. This is what we've spent the month of May talking about, is that a disciple is someone that is fully devoted to following the teachings of Jesus. And we talked about it's not enough to believe in the teachings of Jesus. We actually have to follow the teachings of Jesus. Is that to be a disciple, we have to love one another intentionally and consistently. Because He says, you really are My disciples if you do this one thing. Love one another. Disciples are someone who will always deny self and take up his or her cross and follow Him. They will not only count the cost, they will always pay the price. Because the cost is always great on this side, and the reason we don't want to pay it is because we can't see the reward on the other side. But for those who have ever paid the price, they know that when we deny self, that somewhere along the line, the Spirit will reap something in our life that we wouldn't have had if we not denied self. If we could only see what would be reaped, we would deny ourselves every single time. So a disciple is someone who denies self, and then today a disciple is someone who will bear much fruit. And so we, as New Life Church, we feel like the next move God is calling us to as a church is to be more intentional about providing opportunities to make disciples, to reproduce ourselves in the lives of other people. But understand, we're not reproducing us, we're reproducing the One that is in us. There is a significant difference. When we only reproduce self but not Him, that's inbredness. You don't need more of me to put up with. And I love you. We don't need more of you to put up with. Here's what you need. You need more of Jesus in me. And we need more of Jesus in you. it's the same goal for all of us, isn't it? And what the world needs is for Jesus to reign in more people. Right? And it will always reproduce itself. So if someone comes to our church, the question is, how do they get part of this? But the other question is, how does someone who's already a part of our church, we make sure that we're continuing in this way? So it's a twofold answer. If you remember a few weeks ago, I don't expect you to, I preached the message about there's 100 sheep, 99 of them were in the fold, and there was the one lost sheep. Do you remember any of this? The part that stuck out to me was very simply this, is that with 100 sheep, there would be more than one shepherd. There would be two or three shepherds. And two of the shepherds probably would have stayed back with the 99 while the one went after the lost one. Because we will take care of one another. So how do we make sure that the people that are a part of our church are taken care of in this way? That we are fully devoted to following the teachings of Jesus, that we love one another. And I notice we can only love one another as we know one another. That'll catch you later. Make sure that we're always denying self. So who's going to tell me if I'm not denying self? Who's going to tell you if you're not denying self? How do we make sure that we're bearing fruit and say, So, we have a plan. Here's our exciting news. Starting Sunday, August the 12th, we are moving our service time from 10:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. We're moving it 30 minutes. And here's why. We're going to shorten our service. Translation, I'm going to do my best with the help of the Spirit of God and the grace of God to shorten my sermons. That's what that means. So that following church, there will be multiple opportunities for all of us to be in some sort of discipleship group. Here's what this shift does. I listen, because here's some of the things I hear. We don't have enough time in our week, okay? So, what we're doing is we're offering, if you can give 2 hours of your time on Sunday, which, by the way, right now we go from about 10:30 to 11:40, 11:45. If you just add 30 minutes at the front, we're not doing anything anyway because we're used to having service. See, I'm slow, but I'll come up with something you give me long enough. So what we're doing is we're just giving opportunity to this. I hear some of you. Some of you drive 30, 45 minutes to church. I know how far you drive. So this is why we moved youth group to right after church. It's because it was difficult for some to make the trip back in the week. We get that. So what do? We find another opportunity. So what are we doing? We're trying to find better opportunities for this. Now what will these groups look like? This is going to be different. A little trial by error. Ready? It's going to be focused, every group is going to be focused on discussing Sunday's sermon. There's a reason for this. The first reason is because if I was to stand up here and ask for somebody to lead a brand new group, here's what you would tell me. I know it is. And you just got to believe in yourself. But Gary, you can attest to this. Pastor Reed, you can attest to this. How many times have you heard from somebody that they don't know enough about the Bible to teach the Bible? So many times. And here's what I would say first. That's a lie. You know a lot more than what you realize. And number two, the best way to grow in your own walk is by teaching. But if that's what we ask for, it's going to be difficult. But here's what this does. If it's bad, like your group time, it's probably a reflection because the sermon wasn't very good. It's not on you. But watch this. The other part is, if I give us a book, just speaking from experience, and say, do this chapter this week. If the chapter is looked at before we come, it's going to be 15 minutes as we're on the way out the door. And it might even be in the car. Honey, what do you think about this? We got 3 more questions and only 5 minutes to get there. Hurry up, let's go. So everybody has the same prep time. And here's the other part of it. It makes it more applicable. Because as groups form around ages and different things, you can say, what does this sermon mean to me as I'm trying to raise my kids? What does this mean to me? And here's the other thing, it keeps us accountable. Who's accountable to you? Who are you accountable to after Sunday sermon is preached? Who am I accountable to? Because it's easy to get up here and I'll preach till I'm blue in the face trying to get a response. I'm old-fashioned that way. I just believe we got to give God time to work. But once the response is done, and this is why people won't always respond, is because you know once we say amen, the conviction kind of wanes and you can escape. Woo! Escape the altar this week. Come on, I've been there. I'm only saying from my own experience. Woo! Didn't have to confess anything this week. But what happens when we get in groups and we get to know each other over time, we'll say things like, you know what, I've not done very good in spending enough time with my family this week. That's a real one, by the way. I've not done very good the last few weeks. Things have been busy trying to get things done before a trip, and they're the ones who get the short end of the stick. But you know what I need? I need someone in my life who next week will say, Jonathan, how did you do in spending time with your family this week? And know that when I come to group, somebody's going to ask me that. And to know I better be ready to give an answer for how I lived out the sermon that week. Boy, that changes everything, doesn't it? But here's the other part of it. One of the questions that will happen in group is that we'll always look forward and say, who is someone we can share this with this week? Now, it doesn't mean you have to go up to them and say, let me give you pastor's sermon. For their sake, please don't do that. But as you get opportunity, say, you know what? I think this truth, I know this person, they're going through this in my life. I want to pray for them and that I'll get an opportunity this week to share it with them. And then the next week when we come back, one of the questions will be, how did you do in sharing that with your coworker, your family member, your friend this week? Isn't that simple? But what we want to do is we want to provide more opportunities to be intentional about the way we make disciples. Because here's what I believe about New Life Church. We've been through the pruning. Some of you have been through the pruning. I believe we're in the stages where God is telling us it's time to move into the fruitful faithfulness of this thing. And as we do, here's the thing. We all want much fruit, but Jesus himself said, to whom much is given, much is now required. Much is being required of us. I hope this doesn't sound arrogant. I believe God has blessed this church in so many unique ways that he's setting this church up for a place that will change Warrick County for the glory of God. And I believe that because anybody can wear anything just about into this church. Anybody can come just as they are. You can come in a suit and tie. You can come with blue jeans that still have dirt on them, and you're okay. You're part of us. Not every place is like that. And I'm not judging other places. I just believe the things that God has put in place. The amount of talent that's in a church our size, that doesn't happen just because we want it. It happens because God says, here, I'm giving it to you because I'm going to use you to bless this community. To have the amount of kids and young families that the size of our church has, it's for a purpose and a reason because I think that's the way he wants to use us into this community. It doesn't mean if you're not a young family, you don't have a place. It just means that we're going to get the attention of aunts and uncles and people whose kids are grown who's going to say, hey, I'm for that because I wish we would have had that. This is for my grandkids. I'm going to be there because of that. We already hear stories of that. I just believe that much has been given and now much is going to be required of us. And so my question today is, are you going to be in? Amen. I was at an auction several years ago. I love auctions, and I've still not made it to someone's auction yet. I will. I love auctions. I used to go before I was married, and it was kind of just my time because I would make sure and drive far enough away where nobody knew me and would bug me. And so I would just, you know, enjoy. And I went to this auction. It was a farm auction. And when I pull up, I'm a lover of trucks. You know this. And I see these brand new $50,000, $60,000 trucks. And I'm just like, price is going to be high today, boys. All the farmers are out. And I walk up, and this was at a time I was mowing about 25 yards a week, and I was thinking about buying a truck just to use for that. And I see this diesel truck, and I've always wanted a diesel truck. It was a 1994 Ford. I don't need a brand new truck to be happy. I'm like, this is pretty cool. 7.3 liter, and if you know anything about diesels, this is the engine. This is gold. Had 230-some thousand miles on it. I'm like, this is a pretty nice truck, but it's going to go high. I know the other guys here, they're farmers. They have big trucks. They're going to want to buy this old truck so they don't have to drive their new trucks to the field. We get to into bidding. This thing is around like $1,000. And I'm like, man, the engine alone's worth that. And I start. Or you know how, you know, if you're a real auctioneer, you don't really make a move. You're just kind of like, you pause a little bit. They're asking you for the bid. You don't bid right away. John, this may drive you crazy, but I'm telling you, you kind of wait it out, don't you? See how things are going. You don't want anybody else to know you're even the one bidding. And I bid for a little bit, and it got around $2,500, which was a steal, by the way, if you don't know trucks. But it came to a point, I hadn't planned on it, and here's the deal. I won't buy a pair of $20 blue jeans without walking away first and hoping they go on sale to 15 or 10 bucks. Like, I don't buy anything. So to think of spending, like, this is like spending millions of dollars for a tightwad. And I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know anything about the truck. I just know what I saw and looked. I didn't even think I'd have a chance at it. And here's what he says. Sir, are you in? I wanted to say, can I have 30 minutes? And in a tightwad fashion, I bowed out. And I've always regret buying that truck. You know why? Because I see how much I missed out on. I could have sold that the next day and made money on it. But in the moment, man, you got to decide. I'm asking us today. Today is that moment. Are you going to be in? Don't wait until August the 12th to figure out if you're in. I'm asking each of us today, are we in? Now, I don't know what all of this looks like, but I do know we will find a way to provide childcare. We will provide a way if you are interested in facilitating a group. We will find a way. We're going to train you. We're not just going to say, go out and do this. But I promise you, it's not all that difficult. It's just about accountability to one another. We will do everything that we can. But before we get to any of that, I just ask a simple question. Are you in? And if we're not in, just understand something. I think you'll look back and regret because you will see all that you missed out on. And I believe in my heart of hearts, I believe that this is a monumental day for our church. And I believe that what's going to happen, I believe there will be a day that we will look back and say, when we decided to make this move, is the day that everything began to shift. Hear me. I say it every time. The goal is not trying to build a church. The goal is to help change people for the glory of God, starting with us one by one. And I will tell you what I always tell you. If we minister to them and they never set foot into this church, but they set forth into another church that's making disciples, who are making disciples, we will be their biggest cheerleader all the way. This is not our goal to get a big congregation. Our goal is just to see lives changed, and we're seeing it. And we just want to say, God, don't stop. Please don't stop. Please don't stop. And when we get ahead of ourselves and get too outward focused and there's people hurting that we miss, Lord, bring us back so we can help heal this too, so that we continue to go one step at a time.